surely covet your prayers. I have something I feel the Lord wants us to deliver. I want to be faithful to do that, but I'm kind of operating under a little disadvantage, and so I surely need your prayers. I'd like to turn over to the 14th chapter. 14th chapter of John. I want to talk about Christ manifesting himself to us. It's important that we understand Jesus completely and what he has accomplished for us, what he's done for us, and what he wants to do for us. To manifest himself means to reveal himself. He wants to reveal himself to every one of us. He wants us to see him as he truly is. He wants to make evident in our hearts and in our minds of the power and the glory of God. So I trust that the help of the Lord will bring this out in such a way that we'll see Christ a little better and a little bigger than what we have been. Over in the 14th chapter of John, the book of John, in the 15th verse, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And he hath my commandments, he that hath my commandments keepeth them. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him." I will manifest myself to him. The scriptures are very plain this morning that what he has is not for the world, but it's for his people. It's for us. It's for us to receive the goodness and the glory of God and the power and the might that he has to give you and I the courage, the strength, the grace, and the ability by his strength to be able to overcome this world and all that is within it. He proclaims in the reading there, and I'm going to continue to use that, but I want to read another verse, two verses, in the next chapter, 15th chapter. And the 14th verse says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known or manifested unto you." He calls us friends there in the reading. And I'm thankful to be a friend of Jesus. I thought of that song that they have heard him saying, maybe in California, "I'll be a friend to Jesus." Jesus is my friend and I'm his friend. And he calls us friends. He said, because for all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. He wants to manifest himself to us. He wants to see us. Or he wants us to see him, I'm sorry. in a greater light, a greater understanding. But he said, I won't leave you comfortless. I will come to you in a little while, the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And he's going to send a comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. I'm thankful this morning that I have the ability. God's given me that. But he's given us the ability to receive the Spirit of God. And I didn't know what the Sunday school was going to be on this morning. But he's given us the Spirit of God, and he's given us the Spirit of Christ. But he told us in his word it was necessary. It's expedient that when I go away that I send the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you into the truth. It was necessary that you would have the power of the Spirit of God. Jesus has power, and he gives you and I power. But he also, in his plan of salvation, has given us a spirit that enlightens us and gives us the power to be able to overcome this world that we live in, to be able to be faithful to our post that he has called us to. And he said, even the Spirit of truth. There's not a lot of spirits, but just the Spirit of truth. There's not a lot of truths, just the truth. And I'm thankful for the truth this morning. Whom the world can't receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Well, he wants to reveal himself to us, that we can know him, that we can see him in all of his fullness, in all of his glory. And the scripture brings that out, and we'd like to use a few scriptures this morning. In the Old Testament times, and I feel like it's important that we understand the dispensations of times. We live in this dispensation of time, and we live in a time when Jesus doesn't want us to see him physically, see what he can do, but he wants us to have him hidden within our hearts and within our minds. And I say that in referring to the sixth chapter of Judges, and I won't turn over there. But it talks about Gideon in the fleece. Do you remember the story? Whenever he was wanting to know what God's will was, he said, I want to put a fleece out. And the first thing he asked God, he said, I want you to make the fleece wet and all the ground around it dry. And God did that. God manifested himself, and he showed him that what he was telling him to do, he wanted him to do it. And he said, let me just speak one more time and be not angry, but let the fleece be dry and let the ground around it be wet. And God did that too. He was able to see what God had done. He manifested himself to Gideon. He had some work that he wanted Gideon to do, and a battle that he wanted to go in to fight. And so God manifested himself in such a way that Gideon now understood that it was God that said this. It was God that wanted him to do it. And God was putting his approval, putting his favor. Oh, I want God's approval on my life, don't you? I want his favor upon my life in every way. And so God blessed Gideon, and he went with him to battle, and he won a great victory and all those kind of things. But I want to mention one more. I want to mention Hezekiah and how God revealed himself to Hezekiah. Remember when he said something about the shadow would turn back 10 degrees? And so the shadow turned backwards 10 degrees. That was God that did that. And Hezekiah realized it was God. And what it meant to him was that God said what he meant, and he meant what he said, and he's going to do what he said. And that's one thing about God, folks. He always does what he says he's going to do. He tells us in his word, my word will not return unto me void, but it's going to accomplish that which I please. So God says something, and he means what he says, and it's not going to return unto him void. You and I need to understand that. Jesus here is revealed to us through the Comforter. He's revealed to us through the Spirit of truth. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Folks, I want to say that if it wasn't necessary for me to receive the Spirit of truth after I received Jesus Christ into my heart and life, there would be no need for Pentecost. There would be no need for that day when the Spirit of God would come down and fall upon those men and those women there in that upper room and bless them, and Peter go forth and preach the gospel and preach the word the next few days in all kinds of languages that people can understand. It wouldn't have been necessary for that to even happen if I didn't need the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of God. And I thank the Lord for that. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. A little while and the world seeth me no more, but you see me. I'm manifested to you. I want you to see all the, in a more personal and spiritual way, I want you to see all of my glory, all of my power. I want you to feel all of my love. I want you to feel all the blessings that I have to give you. And I want you to experience the fullness of God's complete plan of salvation that He has for every one of us this morning. I want you to feel the fullness of that. So let's turn over to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And I'd like for you to try to follow me as best you can. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and I want to read some verses here in the ninth verse. Begin at the ninth verse. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Folks, when God chose to put forth a plan of salvation in His Son, He put it forth in love. Love is the foundation of this whole thing. It's the purpose. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I'm going to send you a Spirit of truth. But He said, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. God, no matter what step I take, there's a song that says something about each step I take. No matter how many steps I take towards God, no matter how close I come towards God, God still has more of His fullness that He wants to reveal unto me. He wants to show me greater ways and greater heights and deeper depths and greater love and greater power and greater glory. He wants me to see all of these things. So it says, but God hath revealed them or manifested them unto us by His Spirit. He didn't do it through His Son. He's doing it through His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit searcheth all things. I heard in the Sunday school lesson this morning that the Father and the Son and the Spirit are all one. They're all the same. There's harmony there. There's oneness there. And the Spirit here says, and the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. It searches out the deep things, who God is, the depths of who God is, the deep things of God. And He wants to reveal it unto you and me. Isn't that wonderful? That God wants to reveal this unto you and I? The Spirit searcheth all things, the deep things of God, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. And there's a scripture in Job that says there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. The Lord wants you and I. He's a wise God this morning. And He understands all things, but He wants you and I to understand some things. Save the spirit of man which is in him, even to so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. There's some things that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to me this morning. He wants me to understand some things about God. I'm understanding some things about His ways, and we'll look into that. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. This Holy Spirit that he's talking about. We receive the Spirit of God. Folks, it's all one and the same. And yet it's separate. They all have their identities. They all have their perfect work in each and every one of our hearts. They all do their separate things. But they're all one. They're all together. And they want to reveal the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the worlds which man's wisdom, words which man wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You know, we need to understand what God wants to do with His people. We need to understand what God wants to do with His people. You know, last Sunday we talked about His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants His will done on earth, but I'm afraid it's not being done on earth like He would like for it to be. And it's up to you and I that His will be done here on this earth. He said, not in the words which man wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He wants you and I to understand, folks, our time that you and I are living in. He wants us to understand what he wants to do with us. We hear things on the news. We might see things out in public. We might see our society deteriorating. We might see all kinds of wickedness and evil that's in this world. It's what God wants to do with you and I. You and I are the ones with the power. You and I are the ones with the Spirit of Christ. And we have the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and to give us power to overcome all these things. All those things, folks, we just need to leave them up to God. Just turn them over to the Lord and let the Lord take care of and do what He will in the affairs of men. Sometimes we worry about those things many times. But it says here, through the Spirit, which Jesus would send to us. What does the Spirit do? Does it interpretate the Scriptures? Does it interpretate our time, the time that we're living in? Does it reveal some things to you and I about Jesus? Jesus told us, He even went so far as to tell us about the temporal things. You don't need to worry about what clothes you're going to wear. You don't need to worry about what you're going to eat. You don't need to worry about those. I'll take care of those things. You just need to get more of me. You just need to get more power, and you need to be more spiritual and be filled with the Spirit of God. Tells us to do that over in Galatians, to be filled with the Spirit. It is spiritually discerned. Folks, if you and I are going to understand the time that we are living in right now, we are going to have to spiritually discern the times. The Lord wants to reveal to you and I the times that we're living in and how we are supposed to conduct ourselves. Handle those kind of things and turn it over to Him and let His will be done, and for us just to grow and grow and grow stronger in the Lord and in the power of His might. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And I'm not going to go into all of that. For who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. His mind has been revealed to you and I. Folk, the Lord wants to look, He's looking down in our hearts today. He wants us to examine ourselves. There's a one scripture that says in Hebrews, I think 13 chapter, examine yourselves, see whether ye even be in the faith. Lord, help us. That we be sure of what we're doing. It's important that we're sure of what we're doing. Because we're all going to come to a place where we're going to meet the Lord face to face someday. You and I need the mind of Christ. What is His mind? We need to understand as He reveals Himself. I want to know His thoughts. I want to know His opinions. I want to know how the Lord sees this thing. You know, we may, we're concerned right now about some things that are going on in our government and the Supreme Court nominee and all those kind of things. Folks, I'm just as concerned as you are, but leave it to the Lord. It's all in His hands. There ain't anything we can do about it. Why do we worry about things that we can't do anything about? We just need to pray, don't we? We just need to talk to the Lord and let the Lord know what His mind is. Know what His judgments are. Know what His plans are. Folks, He's going to bring this whole world to judgment. I don't know how He's going to do it. You don't know how He's going to do it, but He's going to do it. He's going to bring it all to judgment someday. You and I have to be submissive to the Lord. And we just seek for His Spirit in a greater measure and in a greater way in our life. Well, I want us to look at a scripture in the Old Testament over in Daniel. It is so good what he says here. Daniel, the second chapter, in verse 20. He says, if I can find it, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever." Now listen to this, folks. He wants to reveal himself, manifest himself to you and I. "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His." They're His. "And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings, setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth" what? What does He reveal to them? "He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him." Sometimes we look at things and we see darkness. We see evil and we see all these different kind of things that we see. But the light belongeth to Him. He looks at this whole world today. I know the scripture says he's angry with the wicked every day. I understand that. I understand that He's really dissatisfied with the evil that's in the world today. But folks, there's light in God. There's power in God. He doesn't change. He's the same every day. No matter what man does down here, no matter what people do. I saw a picture of a woman standing in the at the elevator door. Did you see that picture where the senator was coming out and she was shaking her hand and talking to him and so forth, trying to get him to change his mind? That's all in God's hands, folks. All those silly things are in God's hands. And we don't need to worry our little selves about it. We just need to work to draw closer to the Lord. He wants to manifest Himself to us. He wants to glorify Himself to us. He reveals the deep and the secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. "I thank Thee and praise Thee, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and made me know now what we desire of Thee." Reveal to him the king's matter. Folks, God has control of this. Man devises many ways and many things that he wants to do. But here's where we are. When God's looking down on us and he sees the consecration, Lord help us. When he sees the consecration and the humility of love in us, he can trust us with the deeper experience of his will. He wants to trust us with a deeper experience of his will. When he sees that our consecration and our humility of love in us and the depths that we're willing to go to and all that we're willing to empty out and to destroy that would hinder us from drawing closer to God and allowing him to manifest himself to us, folks. When God sees these things, he's going to reveal some deeper things to you and I. He's going to reveal a deeper experience to you and I. A deeper experience of what? Of his will, of his purpose. What is his purpose for you? Do you know what his purpose is for you? Well, his Spirit does. His Spirit knows what his purpose is for you. He knows very well what his purpose is for you. Let's turn over now to Ephesians, back to the New Testament. Just wanted to put that scripture in there because, folks, it's important for us to understand God sets up kings, but he also takes down kings. He's in control of all those kind of things. He was in control with Ahab. He was when he was destroying all the prophets and burning up the temple and all those kind of, he was with Ahab. He knew all about Ahab. And he had Elijah there to deal with those things, didn't he? God's in control, folks. God's in control. Look what it says in Ephesians, the first chapter, third verse. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Christ doesn't want us to see the fleece that doesn't have the water on it. He doesn't want us to see the fleece that has the water on it. He wants us to see him. He wants us to see him in a greater way, in a more perfect way. Christ, according, he said, blessed us with all blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God never intended to bless mankind separate from his Son. He never intended to bless us separate from his Son. He is our blessing this morning. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We should be holy and without blame before him. That's what I need to be working on. That's what I need. I don't need to worry myself with what's going on in the world. That's what I need to be working on. I need to be working on me. God's still working on us. God is wanting to bring us to a place where we are filled with the fullness of his love, the fullness of who God really is. He said here that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Folks, holiness is when our inward holiness is agreeing with our outward consecration. What I have inside is agreeing, or it's working together with the outward consecration that I have made to the Lord. And whenever those things come together, folks, I'm going to be able to feel his presence in a greater way in my heart and in my life when those things are agreed. Without blame, having no spot or imperfection. Folks, he's not talking that scripture that we have over there in Ephesians where it talks about without spot or blemish or any such thing, the church has that. Folks, he's not talking about sin. He's talking about God working on us. He's talking about God showing us places where we need to change, where we need to grow up a little bit, what we need to work on. He's talking about cleaning out the closet, getting our house ready to meet God. An inward holiness agreeing with our outward consecration. Oh, he said here, skip down to the 18th verse. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Do you know that this morning? Do you feel that? Are you experiencing that? Is that a part of you this morning? He said, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is written, that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He's lifted him up. He's raised him above all these things that you and I are witnessing out in the world today. Folks, that's who we need to be drawn to. That's who we need to come to. That's who we need the fullness of. We need him revealed in our lives, in our hearts. in everything that we do. And he said he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God is looking for, through the work of the Son, through the work of his Holy Spirit, he is looking for a perfect sacrifice. He's looking for that. He wants a perfect sacrifice. Are we giving him that? Even over in the Old Testament, it started way back when. Whenever they started sacrificing animals on the altar, they was to provide a lamb without spot and blemish. Folks, you and I are to be that lamb without spot and without blemish. A perfect sacrifice. Without blame, having no spot or imperfection. But love must be the motive of what we do. And the end of all of our words and all of our works. Let's look at another scripture in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians 3 and 14. For this cause, this is one of my favorite passages here in the New Testament. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I'm so glad I have a name this morning. I have a name in Jesus Christ. That he would grant you, listen now, he wants to reveal something to you according to the riches of his glory. I got something I want to give you so bad. I want to give it to you so bad. And I want you to receive it into your heart and receive it into your life. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. By his Spirit. Folks, Paul here understood. You know, he went out and did the work of the Lord. He went out and he suffered many things and was abused and so forth and went through some hard things in life. But folks, I want to tell you what, he got a hold of something here. That Christ, now listen to this, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Folks, the church is a spiritual habitation. It's a spiritual habitation. We call God our Father. He is our Father. The church is our mother. The church is our mother. It's who we can come to. And we can be comforted. We can be nourished. We can be cared for. We can be protected. We can feel the safety and we can feel the love of the church. It's a habitation of God through the Spirit, folks. That we can comprehend what is the depth, the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And I've said it up here so many times. Folks, to be filled with the fullness of God is just wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. But Paul said to be filled with all the fullness of God. Can we contain it all here? Can we contain all the fullness of God? He wants to manifest himself to us. He wants us to be able to get a hold of it. Well, we're going to have to empty some things in order to give him the room that he wants to acquire in our hearts. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then he said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly all that we're able to ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Oh, we can ask a lot. We can think a lot. You know what we should be asking for? For more of his fullness. Lord, I want to be filled with all I want everything you got. That's one thing I loved about my dear brother Brian. He said, I want to experience everything he's got for me. I want to experience it all. He says, I want to be here when the Lord comes back. And somebody said, what about paradise? I said, no, I don't want to be here when he comes back. I want to experience that too. And he's experiencing that today. He wants to experience it all the fullness of God. He wants to manifest himself to you and I. He wants us to be able to see him clearly. He wants our eyes open, the eyes of our hearts being open and enlarged and see the fullness of God. He wants us to see that this afternoon. He wants us to receive him in his fullness. That means in all of his, the meekness, the gentleness. What's the fruit of the Spirit? He wants us to see him in all the fruit of the Spirit. He wants to fill us with his holiness, with his mercy, with his truth. He wants to fill us with all these blessings. Sometimes we get all bent out of shape because some little thing goes wrong somewhere. And we're not looking at Christ, are we? Let us behold Christ this morning. Let us see his power. What God fills, the room that I make. You know, I remember years ago, back when they were having those young people get-togethers, what they call them? Roundups. I was in Akron, and they had asked me to do this, to bring the word. So I brought the word. Not real keen about that idea, but I brought the word. And a young brother went to the altar after the word, and he says, I went down to pray with him. He says, you know, he said, I want everything Christ has. I want to be filled with all that fullness. And I said, well, do you really? He said, yeah. I said, well, good. Then your business is to empty out everything that doesn't belong there. You need to make room for that fullness. You need to make room for that Christ. Let him manifest yourself. He looked up at me and he said, boy, you're a wise man, aren't you? I said, no, there's no real wisdom there. If you're going to fill up a jar, you got to empty it out first. If you're going to fill up anything, you got to empty it out first. And you're going to have to make room for Christ because he's not going to push his way in. He's not going to push his way in. And we got to make the room. We can get busy. We can get overcharged with the drunkenness and the cares of life. We can do whatever we want to do. But you have to make the room for Christ to come into your heart and into your life. This is even after we get saved. We've got to make the room. What God fills, neither sin nor Satan can fill. If God has filled us, folks, we don't have to worry about sin. We don't have to worry about Satan entering into our hearts. What God fills, they can't fill. Because he takes the place of all of that. Yes, we have to fight Satan every day. I understand that. We have to fight our flesh every day. But when we are filled with all the fullness of God, folks, we have some power, we have some greatness, we have some glory to be able to resist the enemy of our souls. And if God fills it, the soul shall never be empty. And we won't have to worry about the sin that tries to come along and bring himself into our hearts and lives. I want to finish, and I am going to finish. I'm wearing out pretty fast. But I want to read John, the fourth chapter. I want you to think about this. The 17th verse. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness. Folks, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. So are we in this world. If Christ is manifested himself to us, And we have received Him to the best of our understanding, to the best of our ability, to the best of our knowledge. And we have received Him into the deepest recesses of our heart, folks. It says here that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. We may be in the world, but we're also in Christ, folks. We're not of the world. We don't partake of the things that the world does, a lot of the things that the world does. But as He is, we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Folks, it's a priceless assurance. Think of this. A priceless assurance that we need not fear the judgment. We don't have to fear the judgment. Perfect love casteth out fear, doesn't it? We don't have to fear that thing. That thing that is before us. When Christ has manifested Himself to us and we are full of His fullness and full of His grace and full of His Spirit, folks, we don't have to worry about those kind of things. We're going to face it. We're going to be there. But it's a priceless assurance that we need not fear the judgment as He is. Look at that verse above that. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. I'm glad this morning that God dwells in me. It's no fleece out there on the ground. It's no a sundial that goes backwards 10 degrees. It isn't any of those kind of things, folks. But it's a personal, loving, warming. It warms the heart to know that Christ is residing there. To know that He's there with me no matter where I go, no matter what I do. He's always on board. You see those cars going down the road that says baby on board? Folks, keep Christ on board. Let Him manifest yourself in a greater way in your life. Let Him be the power that you need to overcome the things that are coming down the pike. Folks, we're facing some things. I know that. I know that we all have troubles. We all have trials. We have pains and we have aches and we all, well, that just lets you know you're alive, doesn't it? Folks, I want to tell you, no matter what comes, sister said, if you get cancer, whatever you get, God, give it to God. It's all His. He has all power in heaven and earth. I love the Lord this morning. Thank the Lord for His love and mercies to us. I trust that we'll all be able to see Him in a greater measure and in a greater way, and that we'll receive the power and the fullness that He has for us in our lives. Amen.